More at 813-229-STAR or stresscenter.org. I'm Duncan Strauss, really delighted to bring you yet another edition of Talking Animals, in which we'll discuss the second annual Tampa Bay Veg Fest coming up October 15th in Tampa Bay, fittingly enough, with its chief organizer, Isabel Tosi. First, though, as always, we're kicking off the show with an animal tune. This is Langhorne Slim with We Love the Animals here on Talking Animals. Langhorne Slim with We Love the Animals, which could practically serve as an anthem for Talking Animals. My thanks to Bev Capshaw for calling that song to my attention. My name's Duncan Strauss, here with our program that is devoted to all subjects in the animal kingdom. In just a few minutes, we'll be speaking with today's guest, Isabel Tosi, chief organizer of the second annual Tampa Bay Veg Fest, the area's only vegetarian vegan festival set this year for October 15th from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. at Cotenchobe Fort Brooke Park. And the very definition of multifaceted, with activities ranging from samples of food and cooking demonstrations to live music to kids' activities to an array of speakers. And that's not the half of it, folks. We'll find out about this year's Veg Fest and much more when we speak with Isabel in a few moments here on Talking Animals. And as usual, we'll welcome your questions and comments at 813-239-9663 or by email at dj@wmnf. Also, a bit later in the show, we'll step into the Comedy Corner, which involves animal comedy. We'll play Name That Animal Tune. The winner will receive a gift certificate from Loving Hut, the Tampa vegan restaurant. And I'm thinking later on, we'll open up the phones a bit to discuss Dolphin Tale, which in its second week of release rose to first place at the box office nationally, which is an unusual path for any kind of film to take. Of course, it's a local story. Winter the Dolphin lives down the road at Clearwater Marine Aquarium. And there's some interesting issues swirling around the film, around Winter, around the aquarium itself. So we'll hope to get your input on those a bit later. Also, Katie Lang will be performing at Ruth Eckert Hall this Friday, October 7th, on a really strong, great bill, including Teddy Thompson opening the show. And we have a pair of tickets, and you could help Talking Animals and WMNF with a pledge of $80 for that pair of Katie Lang tickets, which is less than you'd pay if you're just going through Ruth Eckert, and gives us a little running start on our fun drive that starts 1 week from today. So if you want to look at your calendar and say, yeah, I would like to go, and I'd like to help WMNF and Talking Animals, so call us at 813-239-9663 or email us at dj@wmnf.org, and we'll get you fixed up for Katie Lang. Right now, though, it's time for animal news and announcements. Look at items of interest in animal news, as well as announcements of local events on the horizon. produced as always by the Talking Animals award-winning Rip and Read News Department. Our first item really just kind of elaborates on what I alluded to before, because it's really, really important to WMNF and to you if you listen to WMNF, which presumably you are right now. So WMNF's Fall Fun Drive is scheduled to start next Wednesday, October 12th, and the Talking Animals Fun Drive show will take place that very day, Wednesday, October 12th at 11 a.m. And I really need your help and support, and given really the confluence of two important things. One, as you may recall, the fabulous Governor Rick Scott vetoed the legislature's budget, cutting all funding for public broadcasting in Florida, both TV and radio, which, of course, included WMNF. So WMNF lost $62,000 in our fiscal year budget that just started October 1st, just a few days ago. So that's a big hit. And the other somewhat related factor, being asked to raise $3,200 next Wednesday and like 50-some-odd minutes. So that's daunting, and obviously, but less so if everyone helps out. So even with all the belt-tightening going on at people's homes and companies and elsewhere, I do believe everyone listening can find a way to donate $25 at least to support Talking Animals. And, of course, if you're able to go beyond that and donate $50, $100, $200 or more, please, please do. But at the very least, try to do your share to keep Talking Animals on the air. So if you like the show, if you like what we do, if you like the interviews with both global and local figures, please support Talking Animals and me next Wednesday. And ideally before that, you could do that before that by going to our tip jar. Just go to WMNF.org, find Talking Animals on the Wednesday schedule, click on that, brings you to the page, and up at the right-hand corner is the tip jar. You can just drop a few bucks in there. That would be great. Otherwise, if you're not sure, you can be listening next Wednesday between 11 and noon. Email us at talkinganimals@WMNF.org, and we'll get you all fixed up in advance. So there's all kinds of great gifts, as always, from the Hawaiian Condo Week to a special Mexican whale-watching trip. And we also have copies of A Dog's Purpose, the hugely popular book, still on the New York Times bestseller almost a couple years later, signed by author Bruce Cameron, with specific sort of inscriptions for Talking Animals listeners. He, of course, was a guest on the show right about the day I think the book came out. So onward to the news. But again, please, please help us any way you can. And again, if you want to help out with the show, answering the phones or doing other stuff with the fun drive here at the station, just call 813-238-8001. Speak to Miss Julie or someone else, depending on how you'd like to help us, and we would love your help. So on to some actual animal news, starting off with something from the Washington Post. Headline: scholarship honors Temple Grandin, autistic educator, animal science professor in Colorado. Dateline Fort Collins, Colorado. Temple Grandin, an autistic educator who was featured in an HBO documentary, will have a scholarship established in her name at Colorado State University. The university said Tuesday the scholarship will be called the Temple Grandin Scholarship in Animal Behavior and Welfare. She's a professor of animal sciences at CSU. McDonald's Corporation is the lead contributor to the fund. Colorado State University says the scholarship will support Grandin's teaching and research by assisting her graduate students. HBO's 2010 biography called Temple Grandin won 7 Emmy Awards, a Golden Globe, and a Peabody Award. Time magazine named Grandin one of its 100 most influential people in the world last year. And, of course, she's been a guest on Talking Animals, I think, 3 times over the years thus far. Also from the Associated Press, Dateline Brigantine, New Jersey. Federal wildlife officials are looking for whoever shot a whale at sea, leaving the animal to wander the ocean in agony for a month or more before it beached itself in New Jersey and died. The culprit could get a year in prison and a hefty fine. Scott Doyle, an agent in charge of the National Marine Fisheries Service's New Jersey Shore Office, said that his agency is hoping someone comes forward to report the shooter. Quote, "What we find is months down the road, you get a disgruntled crew member on a boat or someone who had an argument with someone else, and then you get a phone call," Doyle said. The nearly 11-foot-long short-finned pilot whale, which was near death, weighed about 740 pounds but should have tipped the scales at more than 1,000 pounds. It died shortly after police responded, but it wasn't until a necropsy was performed that the cause of death was revealed. Someone had shot the whale. Far more upbeat and more local. I want to remind you, we talked about this, I think, at least one other show, that there is a event called the Naturalpaza Palooza, which will be held this Saturday, October 8th, from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. at Groovy Cats and Dogs in Carrollwood. And there'll be all kinds of information, speakers, samples of stuff, information, and more. That's from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m., and you can find out a lot more. All the details, in fact, at Groovy Cats and Dogs. It's cats and the letter N, dogs.com. GroovyCatsAndDogs.com. Also coming up locally here, the annual Stride for Strays. That's the Animal Coalition of Tampa's yearly event. This is the 11th annual Stride for Strays, October 23rd from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. at Curtis Hickson Waterfront Park in downtown Tampa. Hundreds of dogs and their special people in a vigorous or leisurely 3K walk. There'll be bands, performers, games, prizes, great food and shopping. And you don't even need a dog. You don't need to bring a dog to join in the fun. That's how flexible they are. So, again, more details about that at actampa.org. And I was out in California for a couple days this weekend and saw this story in the LA Times, Monday's edition. As reliably as masses of sea bass gather off the Southern California coast each summer, boatloads of anglers arrive to reel them in. But their bountiful catches are an illusion, scientists say. The populations of kelp bass and barred sand bass, two of the most popular and easy to catch, saltwater fishes in Southern California have plummeted 90% since 1980, according to a study led by a researcher at the Scripps Institution of Oceanography at UC San Diego. Overfishing and warmer ocean temperatures are blamed for the stunning decline. But sport fishing boats have been able to keep their catch rates high, in part because they have been consistently targeting bustling offshore spawning grounds, masking the dwindling numbers within a quote-unquote illusion of plenty, the study concluded. The problem is when fish are aggregating in these huge masses, fishermen can still catch a lot each trip, so everything looks fine. But in reality, the true population is declining, said lead author Brad Erisman, a postdoctoral marine biology researcher at Scripps. And, all right, well, we'll come back if we have time. There's other stuff. There's always more news items and announcements and stuff, but we do want to get into the Comedy Corner and then speak to Isabel. So let's indeed step into the Comedy Corner, which as always involves animal-oriented comedy. This is Carol Leifer, the featured speaker at Tampa Bay Veg Fest, with a portion of an appearance on The View with Joy Behar on today's Comedy Corner on Talking Animals.
Time, yes, you always were a dog person.
I wasn't actually. I never had a pet growing up.
That's what I said. You were never a dog person.
We knew each other so well. But it wasn't until I met my partner, Lori. She made me a huge animal person. And now we have 6 rescue dogs.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's so nice. 6
Dog lovers. And you know, Joy, I feel in many ways that dogs are even better than people.
Well, a lot of people agree with that.
Why? Well, look at it this way. A dog can lick his privates and yet not feel the need to post it on YouTube.
It's amazing. That's why we love them.
Right? And I even went a step further. I became so much of an animal person that I even became vegan.
Oh, really?
Yes, because I felt that as a Jewish lesbian, I wasn't part of a small enough minority.
All right. That was Carol Leifer with a portion of an appearance on The View, a sneak preview of the thing she might be addressing when she speaks at Tampa Bay Veg Fest, coming up October 15th. But I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm Duncan Strauss. This is Talking Animals. Our website is talkinganimals.net. It's nearly time to speak with today's guest, Isabel Tosi. As I touched on earlier, Isabel is the chief organizer of the second annual Tampa Bay Veg Fest, happening this year at Cotonchobee Fort Brooke Park on October 15th. WMNF will be in the midst of our fall fun drive then, and again, it starts Wednesday, this coming Wednesday, so we would have missed a chance to spotlight the festival on Talking Animals if we didn't do so today. So, produced by Florida Voices for Animals, Tampa Bay Veg Fest features such a huge array of activities, a few of which I alluded to earlier, but I couldn't possibly mention them all, probably even if we took the whole hour, just as Isabel and I would be hard-pressed probably to discuss them all. But we'll certainly aim to discuss a nice representative slice of them. Indeed, let's get to it. So with a reminder that we invite you to join the conversation by calling 813-239-9663 or emailing us at dj@wmnf.org. Let's welcome Isabel Tosi to Talking Animals. Good morning, Isabel.
Good morning, Duncan.
How are you?
I'm fine, thanks.
Thanks so much for joining us. And again, it's so such a rare, cool treat to have our guest in studio. So we're extra excited about that. So there's, you know, lots and lots of things I want to discuss and find out about this year's Veg Fest. But first, let's find out a little bit about you. Maybe you could just tell us a little bit about your background, what you do for a living or have done, and we'll go from there.
My background is as an attorney, and I also have a library science degree. So that's what I've done in the past and currently. And what I do for VegFest is strictly as a volunteer.
All right. Well, we'll get into to the VegFest thing because I know it's a pretty sprawling event and a sprawling undertaking for you in particular and for all those who are helping, of course. But how long have you lived in Tampa?
Most of my life.
So you're a native or darn
no,
close?
I was born in New Orleans.
Okay.
But it came as a child.
Okay, mm-hmm. Cool. So and when did you first you know, really start caring about animals and especially animal rights and those sorts of things?
I guess it was within the last several years. For some reason, I became open to the issue of animal cruelty on multiple levels. And so I found out about the group Florida Voices for Animals, and through them I've been able to do some volunteer work and help animals in different fields.
And was it a sort of gradual process of sort of becoming aware of animals and their plight, or was there a kind of a, you know, an inciting incident or something that really galvanized you to say, hey, I've got to do something, I've got to get involved in a group, I've got to take this step, something?
I guess it was more gradual, just becoming aware of multiple issues, whether it's, you know, dogs and cats that are being euthanized locally at animal services or the animals that people eat, becoming aware of the fur industry. I saw a wonderful film called Witness, which kind of describes that. So through just becoming aware of a variety of issues where animals are basically used by people in very cruel ways, I've become more active in trying to educate the public about those issues.
Mm-hmm. Cool. And if you could make your living working on behalf of animals, which it sounds like at the moment you're not, if
right.
I follow you, what would that job be and with what organization? Let's just say you had carte blanche and you could just sort of write your own scenario here.
It would pretty much be with any one of the animal rights groups that I've seen or groups that promote vegetarian eating. And honestly, it would be in pretty much any capacity. If an executive director would be wonderful, but really just doing the ordinary everyday work would be great too. Just anything that would help in raising awareness about animal cruelty would be, I think, a wonderful vocation.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I would think, though, that for one of those groups who may or may not, you know, be smart enough to hire you at some point, that having a law degree, you know, would seem to be, you know, a huge asset for just there's so many things and obviously so many groups and issues, you know, legislation and tightening legislation and enforcement and a lot of stuff that a trained lawyer would, you know, be particularly skillful and gifted at. It seems like would be, you know, a real plus for any of those organizations.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, using the degree would be one possibility, but it wouldn't be necessary for
sure.
Me. Just anything where I could work, again, raising awareness about animal cruelty issues, I think would be very rewarding.
Right.
And so that's why I do so much of it as a volunteer.
Sure. Sounds like in a perfect world, you could sort of bridge your, you know, what you're doing not as your occupation and make that your occupation
right.
over time.
Mm-hmm.
So you alluded to Florida Voices for Animals and you're a volunteer there and really that Florida Voices for Animals is kind of under whose auspices VegFest is produced, right?
Correct.
Yeah. So maybe you could take a moment. I mean, we've talked about Florida Voices on the show. We've had guests on in the past and a few years ago. And we certainly talk about their events and speakers and stuff, but still maybe be, if you wouldn't mind just taking this moment and briefly telling us just kind of what Florida Voices for Animals is and sort of what it does.
Florida Voices for Animals is a 501c3 nonprofit. Basically, it does raise awareness about animal cruelty issues, and it runs the gamut from, as I alluded to earlier, dogs and cats being euthanized because of what some people claim is overpopulation, the animals that people eat and wear as clothing, fur, animals used in testing, animals in circuses and zoos. It's just raising awareness about those issues and trying to reduce the suffering of animals in society that are used in that manner.
And how big a group is it? What's the membership size?
I think the membership is about 350 people. We also have an animal advocacy meetup of Tampa Bay, and that has, at the moment, I think about 415 members. And so some of the members, I think, overlap who are actually FEA members.
Okay. So it could be more than 350, if I follow you, or you're saying it does tap out, but then some spill into this other group as
Correct.
Well. Okay, gotcha. Mm-hmm. All right, this is Talking Animals. If you just tuned in, we're speaking with Isabel Tosi, chief organizer of the second annual Tampa Bay Veg Fest, taking place October 15th. If you'd like to join the conversation, ask Isabel a question about Veg Fest or about Florida Voices for Animals or anything else so far that we've touched on, or just offer a comment generally, please call 813-239-9663 or email dj@wmnf.org. So I think it might be useful to place Tampa Bay Veg Fest in some sort of historical context. As far as you know, where and when was the first Veg Fest of any kind, really?
I'm not sure where the first one is. I found several through doing my research. I know that Toronto has one that's labeled the largest in North America. It's existed for 26 years.
Wow.
I have seen one in Thailand, which when I was doing my research said it first began in, I think, 1825. I can't imagine that it's been going on that long.
I got to believe that might be a typo, but maybe not. Yeah.
But that's what I saw. But in any event, Thailand does have a 9-day vegetarian festival, and I think it's currently going on at the moment. Many countries across the globe, I could touch on those if you'd like, but in the United States, there have been several cities that are just starting Veg Fest. For example, Houston had their first annual Veg Fest just in June. Asheville, North Carolina just had their first one. In Florida, Orlando is getting ready to have their sixth annual, and Jacksonville and Tampa had their first last year. And again, New Orleans, Washington, D.C. just had their third. Texas has had several.
Wow.
Paris has a Paris Vegan Day. I mean, they're just wow. all across the country and all across the globe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And although Thailand seems to be kind of in its own category, it sounds like really Toronto and sort of that era would be kind of more marking the advent of more modern recent
right.
Veg Fest. And then it sounds like, from what you just reported, that they're popping up kind of left and right.
Exactly. I think they are.
And can you kind of tell us a little bit about the thinking behind Florida Voices for Animals deciding to be amongst those that was popping up, I mean, to decide to launch the first Veg Fest a year ago?
I think the rationale is it's a great way to raise awareness about how delicious and varied the food is. A lot of people don't realize that vegetarian food is really, you know, very varied and quite delicious and filling and economical, and that there is a different way to eat other than the way many of us have learned to live, which is eating animals. So we thought that would be a good way to educate the public about the health benefits of eating vegetarian.
Right. So it sounds like kind of one working plan or strategy is like, in addition to whatever people might do to sort of preach the wisdom of veg eating, and maybe preach the evils of, you know, animal eating, of course, factory farming and stuff. It sounds like part of the real idea here is like, we can do some of that, but let's just present evidence that people can put in their mouth, really, that the stuff is really good, and it's maybe a lot more varied than you think, and it's not, you know, it's not like cardboard, or it's not like a lot of things that you hear kind of people that either tried something many moons ago or have never tried anything, but just kind of, you know, have concluded that that's those are the sort of limitations of this kind of food. So, okay, so we'll get more into that specifically in a moment, I think, about the kind of food and stuff that'll be offered at the Tampa Bay Veg Fest. But, so was this in the works or being discussed at Florida Voices for Animals for kind of a number of years, or was this sort of like, hey, you know, this is something we should do, and then did it move fairly quickly in terms of mobilizing and getting the thing launched? Or
right. It was not years in the works. What happened is just under a year before our first event last year, I ran into some friends in Orlando who are actually the organizers of their VegFest, and they suggested that we have one here, and it sounded like a really good idea, so I approached the board, and they agreed, and so at that point, we just started organizing and planning our first event last year.
Wow. So from kind of more specific idea to this thing is actually taking place, sounds like a relatively short period of time, given even how big kind of an intricate last year's event was.
Right. It was just under a year. I think it was 11 months from the date that we started thinking about it until the event.
And how much, since you know, kind of have alluded to not only other fests, but even, you know, sort of other fests in Florida, I mean, how much, you know, sort of interaction or teaming up on either resources or, you know, how to do this or booking this person, or, I mean, is there a lot of sort of back and forth amongst other fests, or at least other Florida fests?
Well, when I started it last year, I did reach out to the Orlando people to ask for suggestions on how to do it. I also reached out to the Boston Vegetarian Food Festival and spoke to the organizer there for suggestions on how to do it. In terms of speakers, no.
Or just, I just meant just generally any kind of things that you might offer at the event, like if people would be, say, oh, here's who you could contact for this, or here's an idea for that, that kind of thing.
Well, we did kind of take some of the ideas from Orlando. For example, they have an artist corner and animal rescue groups, and that's, you know, how we incorporated some of those things.
Yeah.
We did.
But it does, you know, it's interesting. It does sound like with those kind of minor exceptions, at least in the case of the Tampa Bay Veg Fest, that while they, I think, presumably all have pretty similar approaches and objectives, that they all operate very, very independently. You'd think that maybe with all these that have popped up, especially in the last, you know, half dozen or so years, that there'd be a little bit more of a, you know, collective or people getting together, or at least just, you know, a listserv or something where people would trade ideas, just because it seems like that would strengthen, you know, all the events without necessarily making them any less individual for that.
Right. That does sound like a good idea. I'm not aware that that has actually happened. It seems that each event is pretty independent on their own.
Yeah.
Locally,
yeah.
They just find local people.
Sure.
They may ask questions of other festivals as to how they got over glitches or problems.
Right.
But basically, I think they each tend to be fairly independent locally.
Yeah, yeah. So, all right. So let's get into some of the specifics of this one, this local one. Okay, so we already kind of alluded to, but let's quickly repeat that it's taking place October 15th at Cotonchobee Fort Brooke Park. And, you know, again, I'm not a local guy, so maybe this wouldn't mean as much. But are people generally familiar with that park, or is that maybe tell us a little bit about the location, because obviously you guys moved from where you were last year to this one, and there must have been some particularly good reasons.
Right. You're right. I think a lot of local people don't necessarily know where the park is. I know I wasn't really aware of it until the city mentioned it as a possibility. Cotonchobee Fort Brooke Park is just about a mile away from where we had it last year. So geographically, it's very close. It's still in downtown Tampa. For those who are familiar with where the St. Pete Times Forum is, it's right behind that building.
Mm.
And to give some people a point of reference, the Marriott Waterside Hotel is at the west end of the park, and the Tampa Bay History Center is at the east end of the park. It's a rectangular-shaped park, and it's on the Hillsborough River on the Riverwalk across from Harbor Island.
And we're going to all come back to some of the sort of virtues, I guess, of the park. But let's get into the veg part of Veg Fest. Let's talk about, because we started to a little bit ago. Let's talk a little bit about food, both samples. It sounds like one of the things that's kind of a hallmark of this and other Veg Fest is that there's a lot of food to sample, in addition to, and I don't know how we'll ask, find out how this coexists, the food vendors, who of course are in most cases selling food. So first, tell us a little bit about how that works, where people can, I think, just kind of stroll down certain row of and try different kinds of food. What kind of food would they have a chance to try?
Right. We do have some food samples that we'll be able to give out courtesy of some of our sponsors. For example, some of them are vegan or vegetarian type meats or sausages, deli slices, and then some energy bars and a vegan cheese. So all of those will be at the east end of the park. We tried to keep them separate from the actual food vendors to reduce any kind of competition, although the samplings are very small.
Sure. Yeah, it's just a quick taste,
right,
and
exactly.
Hopefully the food vendors can still do a brisk business that they're hoping to do there. So, okay, well, that sounds good. And then who are some of the food vendors? What kind of, I mean, because some, I assume people listening would be familiar with from one kind of dining or another.
Right. We have a variety. We have Grassroot Restaurant, Loving Hut, Pizza Fusion, Evos, Manja Gourmet, Whatever Pops, which are like veggie and fruit popsicles.
Cool.
Arepichis, Italian Ice, Let Us Eat Healthy, which is a vegan food cart. I think he's been on your program also, Jim Janilek.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we have a total of about, I think it's 16 food vendors.
16?
Right.
Wow.
Queen of Sheba restaurant, Ethiopian restaurant.
Great.
And all the food is plant-based. There's no meat, dairy, or eggs in it.
So even restaurants that people that might have those kind of things on their menu at Tampa Bay Veg Fest, their offerings will be specifically vegan oriented.
That is correct.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Cool. And then also, you know, there's a really strong kind of varied slate of speakers. I noticed, and you know, probably the highest profile would be Carol Leifer. So. I don't know if you want to tell us a little about either the speakers or Carol or both, but I mean, I could certainly address Carol as well. But
right. I can go down the list of speakers. We, of course, have Carol Leifer, who might be better known to people than some of our others, but they're all very accomplished in their respective fields. Carol, for those who may not be familiar, is a comedian, television star, scriptwriter, producer, and author, as we've listed on our website. And her writing includes a writing for Seinfeld and Saturday Night Live, two of this country's most popular programs. And she's also the author of When You Lie About Your Age, The Terrorists Win. We also have Dr. Milton Mills, who's an associate director with Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine. And we have Roberta Kalachowski. She began a group called Jews for Animal Rights in 1985. And she's written several books, including The Jewish Vegetarian Year Cookbook, and the Vegetarian Shabbat Cookbook. And interestingly enough, we have another speaker, Roberta Schiff, who co-authored the Vegetarian Shabbat Cookbook with Roberta Kalachowski. We have Harold Brown, who's a former beef farmer and who also worked in the dairy industry, who has now adopted a vegan or plant-based diet and works to promote awareness of animal cruelty issues and encouraging people to adopt a vegan diet. He's also the subject of an award-winning film called Peaceable Kingdom, The Journey Home, which at the moment is not yet out available to the public, but it's a wonderful film. I was able to see it at a film festival. We have Ellen Jaffe Jones, who is a local person in the Sarasota-Bradenton area. She's an Emmy award-winning journalist. She's a former financial consultant, an athlete who has won several awards, and now she's the author of a book called Eat Vegan on $4 a Day. And this book has done extremely well in the short time since it's been published and will soon have a second printing, which, according to what the publisher told her and she mentioned to me, is not very common so soon after a book is published, nor for a first-time author.
Yeah, well, they must be flying at the shelf because more than a month or so ago, she and I traded emails. Said, yeah, send me the book. We'll see if I get in the show. I haven't seen hiding her hair. But anyways, I know she's doing really well. So.
Yeah, and I think she's trying to hit every vegetarian festival in the country. And she went to Toronto, and she sold out her books on both days of that festival. So she's been doing quite well. And we also have Tracy McWhorter, who wrote a book called By Any Greens Necessary, A Revolutionary Guide for Black Women Who Want to Eat Great, Get Healthy, Lose Weight, and Look Fat, spelled P-H-A-T. She has a master's degree in public health. So that's our list of speakers.
Yeah, which is it's a great array, and I should mention for hardly the first, maybe the first, but hardly the last time, that there's a great website for the Veg Fest. It's TampaBayVegFest.org, and so there's schedules for all the speakers, all the events kind of broken out and on the different pages. So, you know, if people heard about one or more speakers that they'd like to see, they can just click on that and see when those people are speaking. So, and again, Carol, just to come back to her for one quick sec, just because she, as you say, is probably a little bit higher profile just because she's also coming from long career in comedy and on TV, and and she was also on Talking Animals a couple years ago, May 2009. But also, for people who love sitcoms, or at least award-winning sitcoms, she also periodically writes scripts for Modern Family, which just cleaned up at the Emmys. So anyway, she's wonderful and really funny, and she's had a really interesting life as her book sort of charts and now her talks do. I mean, for many years, not an animal person, just didn't grow up with animals, just didn't really have any interest, and certainly... I think had a fairly standard kind of meat oriented diet. And so in recent years, she's become a huge animal person. She and her partner, I think, have 7 or 8 dogs, and she's been vegan, and she talks about a lot of those things in her book, amongst other changes. And just now when she speaks at things, and I've heard her speak a number of times, she's terrific. So anyway, let's see if maybe we'll get a caller in here before we carry on. Hi, you're on Talking Animals with Isabel Tassi.
Oh, hi, I'm really excited about the Veg Fest, and I wanted to mention 2 things. One is that I believe that's the same day that Occupy Tampa is going on, so maybe people could do both during that day. And the other thing I wanted to mention, ask you about is, do you have vegan music at all? Do you have musical artists?
And yeah.
Do you have visual artists there?
There's all kinds of stuff. Well, we've barely gotten into some of those things, so I'm sure be addressing certainly the music and some of the other things before our time is done here. So you're right. It's not only the same day as Occupy Tampa, but also WMNF is having its huge birthday tribute to Paul Simon that day, and there'll be I think 9 hours of music gets underway around 3:30. At Skipper's, and you can find out more at WMNF.org. So really, you could do, if you plan your day very carefully and smartly, you could do Tampa Bay Veg Fest, you could do Occupy Tampa, and then you could wind up at the Paul Simon birthday tribute at Skipper's. So it's a busy, good day. So anyways, thanks for your call. So alright, well let's just jump ahead right into that to more directly answer her question. There is quite a bit of live music on
yes.
hand at that day, so I don't know if you want to say just quickly about, it also struck me as kind of a really great, array of bands that are kind of crossing genres. Anything in particular you want to say about the bands, or just again, we can, you know, advise people to go to the website and find out who's playing and when, because some bands I think people will know and be quite, you know, familiar with and excited, and some will be like new discoveries.
Right. We have all of that listed on our website. We've listed all of the bands, their genre, and either a website link or a Facebook link, and also that we've listed a schedule of when each of them will play, just as we have for the films and the speakers. There's a schedule on the website, so you can plan your day ahead of time if there's a particular band or speaker or film you'd like to see or hear. You'd know when they'd be playing.
Yeah, which is great. All right, well, I'm going to jump ahead then to films, because one of the things that I think is just great, and I guess maybe part of the virtue of this location this year, is that you're able to do films. I mean, a lot of festivals, they're outdoors. There's not really a place to show films, so... often that's just not a component of those kind of festivals, but that is a component of your. So there's a bunch of great films once again showing, and if you go to the website TampaBayVegFest.org, again, those are broken out very specifically in terms of the schedule. But there's at least one or two I would probably specifically mention, but perhaps there's I don't know if you want to. To me, sort of in reverse order, at least, Forks Over Knives is, a huge film, just extremely important, influential, and really embraced by an incredible broad community, not just sort of the veg vegan community. It's a documentary. We had Brian Wendell, the creator and exec producer, on the show, and he talked about it at length. But it's a really, really good film, and that screens there, I guess, from 4:10 to 5:40. So that's the last film, I believe, of the day.
Correct.
Sort of going out with a big bang. But there's all kinds of films, and Dr. Neil Bernard from Physicians Committee or founder of that, really, of Responsible Medicine. There's his thing, Kickstart Your Health. And so, again, it's just, the hard thing will be, especially for people who might be trying to go to one or two other events that day, trying to work it all in. It's like, oh my God, you know, thankfully this festival runs, you know, 8 hours because, you know, for people who have to come and go to other things or just have busy days, you know, at least you can catch a lot of stuff whenever you happen to go. And, so again, we're speaking with, Isabel Tosi, chief organizer of the second annual Tampa Bay Veg Fest set for, 10 days from now, really, October 15th. We invite you to join the conversation. We have just a few short minutes left probably with Isabel. You can call 813-239-9663 or email dj@wmnf.org. So, one thing that's really, I think kind of cool and nice, is, there's all kinds of things planned for kids and to keep the kid contingent engaged and happy. So, I don't know if you want to talk about any of those, activities or.
Right. First we have a puppet show at 11 in the morning, and that will be shown inside the Tampa Bay History Center. That will be by Katie Adams of Make Believe Theater, and the puppet show is Johnny Appleseed, American folk hero. As the story goes, he planted apple trees throughout Ohio and other states and loved all animals, and as the story goes, was a vegetarian. So that's a really fun puppet show for kids. We also have the children's area, which will be under a tent or a couple of tents at that end of the park close to the History Center. We'll have coloring, face painting, story time for kids, arts and crafts, just a variety of things for kids all day long.
Well, that's cool. And as a lapsed puppeteer, I love a good puppet show, so that's very good. So, all right, so let's see. We're sort of running short of time. There's so many other things we want to do. Let's try to take at least one more call. Hi, you're on Talking Animals with Isabel Tosi. Hello? Oh, are you there? Okay, maybe not. Okay, maybe they'll call back. But Isabel, and of course, you know, I suppose it goes without saying, but I guess we should say just in case that people are invited to bring their animals as long as they're on a leash, right?
Correct.
I mean, yeah.
They can bring their pets on leashes. I do want to point out that they're welcome in the park, but inside the History Center where we have the speakers and films and puppet show, only service animals are permitted. That building does not allow pets.
Sure. But otherwise, for all the
right.
The outdoor activities, bring them on over. So, okay, well, since we are, you know, desperately kind of now short on time, let me just ask you this, Isabel. I mean, what would you say is the kind of fundamental mission of Tampa Bay Veg Fest? I mean, you sort of talked about, you know, introducing to people sort of that there's all kinds of, you know, food, veggie kind of food that is, you know, maybe better and more appetizing than they thought. But, I mean, are there more fundamentally kind of any kind of objectives that you and the others at Florida Voices for Animals have in sort of mounting this? Because it takes a lot of work and a lot of resources. And is there something you're really trying to accomplish in a specific sense? Or
Well, we're just trying to show people that you really sacrifice nothing by adopting a plant-based diet. It really is delicious and varied, as I stated earlier, and it gives you the opportunity to live a more compassionate and cruelty-free lifestyle, that it really is unnecessary to have animals or their products on your plate. And it's an opportunity to eat this food at one location, to ask questions, to take brochures home with you, to listen to speakers and films, to become a little more educated, to ask people questions, and to hopefully, when they go home, consider the possibility that maybe they could increase the plant-based foods in their diet for their health and also for the animals.
Cool. Well, that seems like a very reasonable goal. And let me just finish up by, kind of observing that organizing an event like this becomes pretty all-consuming and undertaking, and it's just loaded with challenges and kooky situations, sometimes kooky people, and of course this is an observation I can make firsthand. But for you, 10 days out from the second one and having done this on the first one, what's the most rewarding aspect for you?
It's just rewarding to have people come to the festival and, as they did last year, and say thank you so much for having this festival. We appreciate the information you're providing for us, the fact that we have this festival just for vegetarians. And it's also rewarding to find out that people are coming literally from all over. Last year we had people from Fort Lauderdale, Sarasota, Naples, Orlando, Lakeland, people from all over the region, because I think there is a great interest in this kind of event. And so it's rewarding to provide people with an event that I think a lot of them find very interesting and worthwhile.
And again, talk about, you know, sort of something for everybody, really. I mean, because we just didn't have time to hit all the components. But again, the website is TampaBayVegFest.org. It's a great website, really detailed and rich with all kinds of cool info and all those schedules that we alluded to. And again, the festival is taking place October 15th, a week from this Saturday, Cotonchobee, Fort Brook Park. So, Isabel, thanks so much for joining us and talking animals, and we look forward to the event.
Thank you, Duncan.
Thank you. Okay, so I'm Duncan Strauss. You're listening to Talking Animals, where the show website is talkinganimals.net. It's time to proceed to name that animal. Tune to be a prize, a gift certificate from Loving Hut Restaurant, one of VegFest food vendors. The first person who calls 813-239-9663 and correctly identifies this animal tune selected with our fabulous, one of our fabulous, I don't want to give it away too much, forthcoming WMNF in event in mind. So it's Name That Animal Tune on Talking Animals.
Someone told me it's all happening at the zoo. I do believe it. I do believe it's true. It's a light and tumble journey from the east side to the park, just to find a fancy ramble to the zoo. But you can take a cross town bus if it's raining or it's cold.
Okay, can you name that animal tune?
At the zoo.
That's right. What is your first name, sir?
Eric.
Eric? Okay. Well, then you have just won yourself a gift certificate to the Loving Hut Restaurant. Going to have to put you back on hold, Eric, and get your information so I can send that off to you. But congratulations. And, of course, at the zoo is a Simon and Garfunkel song, which may or may not be performed. I'm not even sure. But we have this great Paul Simon birthday tribute show coming up also October 15th, same day as VegFest. It's 3:30 to midnight at Skipper's Smokehouse. $12 in advance. The best deal you can imagine. And by the way, VegFest, we can't really say the price, but let's say you left your wallet at home or you left it in the car and you walked all over and said, oh, I don't want to go back. I think you can still get in. Okay, so thanks, Eric. We'll take care of you one sec. Okay, so it is Talking Animals. It's WMNF, and you can find out more and get your tickets for the Paul Simon Tribute at WMNF.org. Call here and speak with Miss Julie, 813-238-8001. And, oh, geez. Well, you know what? Maybe we'll do the dolphin tail thing a different way, a different time, because we don't have that much time left. And so I'm going to get back to some news items that we didn't have time for. One thing I found really interesting, again, partly related to being out in California this weekend, is the Irvine City Council. That's Irvine is in Orange County, Southern California. And Irvine is, when I lived out near there, basically, you know, the kind of place that, like, made you keep your house beige and, you know, seemed kind of nutty in some ways. But anyways, get this. There's a city council meeting on Tuesday, next Tuesday, the 11th. And they'll be voting on supporting a ban on wild animal circuses, rodeos, retail sale of cats and dogs. So various folks are encouraging people to come and speak. If you happen to be hearing this and you're in Southern California, you don't have to be an Irvine resident to speak and sort of make your views known on why circuses and rodeos, we don't want to have those, and why we don't really want to have retail sales of cats and dogs, and why we want to encourage spaying and neutering and stuff. So anyway, I just thought that was kind of interesting, and on a somewhat peripherally related note, a couple days ago, the national nonprofit Animal Legal Defense Fund filed suit in California Superior Court in Los Angeles County against Barkworks, a Southern California pet store chain, claiming the stores repeatedly engage in fraud and false advertising in an effort to conceal from customers that they source their puppies from abusive puppy mills. Large-scale commercial dog breeding facilities. Numerous individual plaintiffs from throughout Southern California report purchasing extremely sick puppies from one of Barkworks' six retail locations, despite being given warranties that the animals were fit for sale and not ill. So we'll be watching that one carefully from here. And let's see. Here's something else cool coming up with the, speaking of factory farming and why we want to explore alternatives to that. At the end of this month, October 27th through 29th in Arlington, Virginia, Farm Sanctuary is putting on a national conference in factory farming for health, environment, and farm animals. That's the title of it. And a lot of great speakers and information will be presented there. And, well, of course, Gene Bauer is president and co-founder of Farm Sanctuary, who will be in town this weekend. But, that's a long, complicated thing to get into. But anyways, Dr. Michael Greger, of course, has been on the show, will be speaking. Everyone from the founder and CEO of Whole Foods, and John McKay, and Elizabeth Kucinich, all kinds of folks. So anyways, find out more by going to factoryfarmingconference.org. That's one I wish I could go to. And I think we are just about now kind of reaching the end of today's edition of Talking Animals on WMNF Tampa. We'll be back next Wednesday, October 12th at 11 a.m. with our Fun Drive show. We'll be asking for your support of Talking Animals and WMNF. We'll also, of course, be playing some animal songs and animal comedy. We'll be having fun, but we do hope you'll do your share to keep Talking Animals on the air. And it would be huge help if you could donate today to give us a running start at making our financial goal, which again will be to raise $3,200 in less than an hour. Yikes! Help me, please. So, just go to our tip jar if you can, WMNF.org. Just find Talking Animals on the Wednesday schedule. Click on our page and the tip jar is in the upper right-hand corner. And slip in, $25, $50 if you can swing it, $100 if you can swing it, more if you can swing it. Or if you'd like to pledge more directly, but also do so beforehand in case you might not be available during the show next week, please email me at talkinganimals@wmnf.org, and I'll be happy to help you help me. If you like the show, if you like what we do, if you like the interviews with both global and local figures, last week we had the interview with Jill Robinson from the Animal Asia Foundation. Today we had Isabel, obviously, from Florida Voices for Animals and Tampa Bay Veg Fest. That's kind of a nice array right there. So please support Talking Animals and me. Let's make sure the folks here at WMNF know that the show is supported on all kinds of levels, and in the public radio world, that means financially as well. So no amount is too small or too large. I hope you can count on you, and I hope you'll visit our website, talkinganimals.net, where we make available all sorts of information, as well as archives and podcasts of past Talking Animals shows. We also have a link to the Talking Animals Facebook page, our Twitter feed, and more. That's all found at talkinganimals.net. Talking Animals broadcast outreach consultant is Libby McKenna. My thanks to her. I'm Duncan Strauss. Thanks very much for listening. Have a good week. Be kind to animals. Be kind to others. Be kind to yourself. Stay tuned for the fabulous Scott Elliott with the All Souls version of It's the Music, airing next from noon to 3. We're closing out today's show not with an animal tune, as we might normally, so much as a song chosen with VegFest in mind. This is new music from Mike Doty with a song called Vegetable. Taking us up to the NPR News, and then Scott Elliott and his great, great show right here on WMNF Tampa. We'll see you next Wednesday at 11 a.m. Try to help us. Try to support us. It's WMNF Tampa. Thanks. I was alone, skipping along, killing the song, digging it long gone. I was alone, breaking it off, making it soft, touching the road home. Sear it like a vegetable, starve it like a vegetable, mash it like a vegetable. Dip it like a vegetable, fry it like a vegetable, boil it like a vegetable. I was a chump, making the jump, chipping the bump, driving the speedboat. I was a chump, swallow a lump, kid I smoked, taking an eighth note. Scheming like a
a vegetable. Green like a vegetable. Raise it like a vegetable. Cook it like a vegetable. Bake it like a vegetable. Burn it like a vegetable. Out of the black, skipping the track, taking it back. I make it bid for the metal. Rough rot like a cosmonaut. I got shunned for the refund. You're restless in your best dress. I'm depressed at your swank address. Living the machinery, salty of the hex you be. Hellbound around the compound. Make the word swell in the villanelle. Ah well, you got the dweller, dispeller. Tremble when you disassemble. Draw a rough map on the fool's cap. Mr. Weinstein drinking a strike nine. That's why I compel. Like a vegetable, green like a vegetable, burn it like a vegetable, dirty like a vegetable, make it like a vegetable, fix it like a vegetable, burn it like a vegetable, dip it like a vegetable, mash it like a vegetable.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Lakshmi Singh. Athens, Greece is seeing another day of huge protests against the country's latest round of austerity measures that they say is hurting the average worker. In Athens, John Seropoulos reports public sector workers are holding a one-day strike.
State workers blew a whistle on the government, warning it not to advance to layoffs next year. Earlier this week, the government announced it would retire rather than fire 30,000 public sector employees in 2011. But many fear that worse is yet to come. The 2012 budget, sent to Parliament on Monday, contains a further...